All right, now we're going to look at the first reading for this third Sunday of Advent, which is Isaiah 35, 1-6. It's a beautiful text. It promises the very things we've been talking about, the power of the Word of God to heal, to show itself. When we preach the Word of God, we are preaching the intentions of God. And those intentions of God have power. They heal. Every one of us have experienced this. And you pray over people. You can pray over them in confession. In fact, I think it's even in the instructions somewhere. Somebody's having difficulty confessing, and you know there's a demon there. And so you just pray, and the power of your prayer scatters that demon, just as the text says. And the person is free to really confess their sins. So this text is Isaiah 35. It may be it's in that first section, 1-39, but it's probably by a disciple. And it has links to other texts that are other texts that say the same type of thing. Okay. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. This is the promise, you see. It's always, you see what happens to us. After a while we think, if I have enough money and enough health and really good friends, I could stay here. This would be great. Shows you how little we esteem eternal life. And as a matter of fact, nobody has enough money or enough friends or enough health. So why don't we look to where God's promising to bring us? This is Advent. In Advent, the church celebrates this presence of Christ. And that presence of Christ takes on a new dimension in us and through us to the world. If we only really lived it. Okay. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. Trying to think of, you see, the prophet, thinking of the most beautiful parts of his land where he lives. This is up in Lebanon, this part. You see, they shall see the glory of God, the kavod, glory of God, which means, you see, the palpable experience of his saving presence. That's the kavod. And it has a momentum. It carries itself through history. We'll discuss that some other time. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. So the terrible recompense isn't for you. You've been trying to hang on to God. He will save you. This is the saving presence of God. Now it's described. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. You see the promise. No matter what happens in your life, you can walk in peace. I can be there. That's what's another dimension of the baptism in the Spirit, is this abiding experiential presence, even though the experience is not an overwhelming emotional experience, but it's an awareness of God. That's what he's saying. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yes, but that's heaven. In other words, the fullness of that prophecy has not been realized yet. It's okay to know that. To say there's more coming. But it is coming now to us at Christmas. If we, our hearts are ready, if we help our people get ready, there's a peace. There is a peace because the Lord is present and we are perceiving Him. That's the wonder. And so I want to point out a patristic text, if you don't mind. It's on this, singing for joy and the rest, this Isaiah 35. It's from John Chrysostom. And the prophet says, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. He is speaking of the place where there will be great joy, peace, love, delight, and mirth, where there is eternal life, unspeakable glory, and inexpressible beauty, where there are eternal tabernacles, and the untold splendor of the King, and those good things which no eye has seen or ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, where there are spiritual bedchambers and celestial apartments, where there are virgins bearing bright lamps and guests in waiting garments, where many are the possessions of our Lord Jesus Christ and the storehouses of the King. Now you see, he's looking forward to heaven. So when he sees the anticipated fulfillment of that promise in Isaiah, he realizes this is an anticipated partial fulfillment. But we look to heaven. But my friends, when was the last time you talked to God about heaven? When was the last time you said, I can hardly wait to be there with you? The Holy Spirit moves us like this, you see? It's yes, we're expecting a sacramental, mysterious presence of the Lord at Christmas. But it's only a shadow, an icon. It's not the reality in its fullness. It is the reality. Jesus is present, but not in the mode of existence that's proper to Him. This is what's proper to Him. You see? Sorrow and sighing flee away. He is speaking of the place where there's great joy, peace, love, delight, and mirth. That's a great place. That's what He's called us to for all eternity. And when we turned our back and refused it, He came Himself in His Son to die for us, so that we can still look forward to heaven. You know, there was a Benedictine, 16th century Benedictine, his name was Augustine Baker. And he used to speak about what he called forced acts of the will, which he didn't mean forced in our sense. He was a great man, he was a great spiritual director. His English is really, if you ever get the book, you'll laugh. You know, it's kind of funny. Anybody who wants to be an interior liver has to have a ghostly father. That's his language. But his notion is this, that when you're driving in the car, turn off the radio. It's religious music. Fine, turn it off. Talk to Jesus yourself. You don't need the music all the time. And then say, God, I believe that you are. I believe that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that you've come to save us. I believe I'll be with you forever. Make your own act of faith. Then hope. Lord, I thank you for your firm invitation to eternal life. I look forward to being with you forever. And all these prophecies will be fulfilled. And your word will be proven true. Not in some picturesque, emotional way. But in reality. And I can have anticipations of that. Even in this life. But I look forward to being with you forever. I have this firm invitation to eternal life. I can blow it. Please don't let me. I want to be with you forever. And then love. God, I love you. I'm embarrassed to say it because sometimes I hardly know if I know you. But I love you. When I think of what you've done for the whole human race, what you've done for me, how you preserve the church, even though we've made a mess of it, you know, I love you. I look forward to being with you. I look forward to being with you even in this life. I love you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love you and I praise you. See, you make up your own. And you can do that driving the car. And it's better than somebody else's songs. Because these are your songs. And they touch God's heart. And so you see, that's what this text is saying. You see, that sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What Chrysostom says, you see, there will be great joy, peace, love, delight, and mirth. So, that's the promise, okay? Now, it's an interesting little sidelight here. The text says, you know, that the lame shall leap, and the tongue of the stammerer. The word in the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation, is mogilalon. It's so interesting that when Mark is describing this man in chapter 7, they brought to him a deaf and mogilalon. I think for people who read the Bible all the time, in Greek, we don't do that, but I mean, they read Mark saying mogilalon, they know. He's alluding to this prophecy of Isaiah, where there is this stammerer. It's not a common word. If you look it up in the Concordance, in the Septuagint, it only comes here. In the other group, Symmachus and Theodotion, it comes more often, well, a couple of times more often. But I wanted to bring that to your attention, that Mark, you know, it's what St. Thomas calls, when we study the Scripture, delectationes in enerabiles, unspeakable delights. They are here, this promise of God, I will heal you. The lame will leap like stag. There'll be mirth and joy. I'm promising you something. Now, you see, our people are weighed down, right? Most of them live in the last form of slave labor left in this country. They have to drive to work. Especially if you're in a middle-class parish, they drive to work, park their car, go into a lousy job they don't like, so they can get money, get home and pay the bills they can hardly pay. And the guy, he goes to work at 6:30, 7 if he's lucky. He gets home at 6:30 or 7. When does he have time with his children? When can he be the man of the house? You see? So, these texts are meant to tell us there is a way, even in this difficulty, I can be present. You can leap like a stag. You can be joyful. You can have mirth. Even in this veil of tears, I'm promising you an anticipated experience of what I want to give you in an unimaginable way forever. Please think about this, the Lord tells us. Think about my plans for you. Think about how I can hardly wait to show you myself, to give you myself, and to bring you to me for all eternity.